The Sunnah and the commands of Allah. The Sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakira.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Saying of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام Send salat upon me and make immense efforts in dua and say اللهم صل على محمد وعلى Ali Muhammad, Sallu ala al-Habib, Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Beloved Amir of Ahlu Sunnah, we have received a question that there's a widespread trend of only marriage taking place first. What happens in this is that the wedding takes place first and the bride is sent to the groom's house after a month or even after a year or so. What is your opinion regarding this? And also please mention what are the benefits of marrying in a young age.
This trend is normally practiced and followed differently in different tribes, nations, and castes. I have noted that in our society in Pakistan, the bride is sent to the groom's house straight after the wedding. It was after a very long time. Just recently, I came to know that wedding and bride going to the groom's house are separate events. I'm talking about myself, we used to congratulate normally on the wedding. The wedding and the bride going to the groom's house would be on same day. But nowadays, a separate trend as mentioned in the question is ongoing. There's no harm in it. It's permissible by Sharia. In fact, when the marriage of Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu anha took place, it was after some time that she was sent to the beloved Prophet's house. So there's nothing wrong in it from a Shari'i perspective. But what is observed nowadays is that at times after the marriage, both the parties either delay the sending of the bride deliberately or do so due to their culture and norms for no reason, making excuses like we don't have enough money to make all the arrangements at the moment, etc. So this also happens. Now both the cases are permissible in the light of Sharia. Whether the bride is sent to the groom's house straight after the marriage, this is also permissible, and for the bride to be sent to the groom's house after some time of the marriage is also permissible by Sharia. What opinion can I give in this regard? If you ask me, my personal opinion is that if the bride is sent to the husband's house straight after the marriage, it is better, because the situation nowadays and trends in this era have become such that Al-Aman wal-Hafiz, after the marriage until the bride is sent to the groom's house, different cultural norms and trends are followed. And which side gets suppressed more in this? It is the bride side of the family which gets more suppressed in this. Now, for example, it is the season of mangoes. Now, according to different norms of different communities, the bride side will have to give a set quantity of finest of mangoes to the groom's family at a specific occasion. This needs to be given if they have performed Umrah, then these many gifts will need to be given. Same goes if the other party performs Hajj. Now, when we talk about someone performing Umrah, we know that performing Umrah is not Fard or Wajib. Performing Qaza Umrah is Wajib. There's a whole different scenario when Qaza Umrah becomes Wajib. But as for Hajj, it becomes Fard in certain cases. So some people are scared of performing Hajj due to cultural trends. As an expense of Hajj is this much, an expense of getting gifts is this much. So these kinds of trends and cultural norms are also found in different families. Now if Hajj is fard upon someone, they'll have to perform it regardless. Such cultural norms and trends are not fard or wajib, but unfortunately, this is prevalent in society. Likewise, on the occasions of sacred nights, the trend of giving gifts is prevalent. Then, when there are other occasions and other events, giving gifts is carried out again, so the family of the bride side is, generally, suppressed more in this. So, if the bride is sent to the groom's house soon after the marriage, these trends and norms will not be followed for long. Now I have realized that marriage and sending of bride to the groom's house are two different events. They are two different functions, which I used to think that they were one, which in reality are. As for marriage, it's not an Arabic term. So the term wedding or marriage or similar kind of non-Arabic terms in different languages are used to denote the event of marriage. The term nikah is the Arabic term for this. The term nikah is also used in many languages, but it has been separated now. I have noticed since recent past that it has been turned into a separate event. As the question was asked to me in this regard, therefore I replied that if the bride is sent to the groom's house soon after the marriage, they'll be saved from many unnecessary cultural trends, and this would achieve nothing and there would be unnecessary delays. Once the marriage has taken place, husband and wife become halal for each other. When the bride is not sent to the groom's house after the marriage, the parents may even restrict them to talk on the phone. When they both get married, talking on the phone for both of them becomes lawful along with many other things which Sharia has made lawful for them. But for all this, the cultural norms and trends become a great hindrance in their way. And many cultural norms are such which the Sharia does not demand of. Those cultural norms and trends are permissible which do not contradict Sharia. But because of some cultural norms and trends, a person falls into a great difficulty, and everyone knows this. Some senior members of certain social welfare organizations also run campaigns against this, but when marriages take place in their families, they also fall into it. Not all of them, but a good number of them. So wherever they would have reached in their campaign, it would all go to waste. And they then get back to square one, and then people also criticize them. So the whole situation around us is upside down. May Allah make such means for all of us that we all get reformed. The consequences we are facing are due to our own deeds, which are hurling us further into grief. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My name is Athar Akhtari, and my question in the court of the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah in the Madani Muzakara is that it is commonly observed that if you call someone to carry out some work, like a builder or a plumber or an electrician, then common trend is that they talk negatively about the person who previously came and carried out the work, saying that the previous person has messed up the work. So what should be one's approach in this case that he remains secure of sins? What guidance would you provide in this regard?
This question indeed needs to be addressed, and this is in every field. It is not specific to only a builder or a plumber or an electrician or a contractor. It is found in every field. At times a person would get treatment from one doctor first and then from the other doctor, and the new doctor will ask what the other doctor gave him, and you will tell him what the other doctor prescribed you, and he'll be like, this is for a different disease. Why he gave you this? And now he'll start talking ill of him. Likewise, if you tell the doctor that you went to a herbalist for your treatment, now the doctor will start criticizing the entire science of herbal treatment. And the doctor will keep mentioning his own praise. All doctors are not like this, but this happens. Similarly, if you go to the herbalist and you tell him that the doctor injected me right over here and it increased my pain, now listen to the herbalist. They will start criticizing the doctor and the field of medical science, mentioning their own brilliance and excellence. If you happen to go to a homeopathic doctor, you'll find the herbalist criticizing them expertly as well. You will hear all the negative criticism about them. Testification will only be on the Day of Judgment as to who was truthful. Who will testify to whom in this world? So you will come across this situation as well. Similarly, if you go to any mechanic for some repair work on your car, etc., telling them that you previously got it repaired from so-and-so garage, the criticism will start again. So you'll find such kind of people in every field. You'll find them in tailors, in shoemakers, in every field. And people are not considerate regarding sins and reward. If they were considerate, perhaps they wouldn't do this. They just backbite each other, put the other person down, mention their flaws, as if there's nothing good about the other person, only shortcomings and flaws. So the situation all around is very bad. In any field, this shouldn't be the case. The other person hasn't come to you to listen to others. Shortcomings. He came to you for getting his work done. I've given this advice many a times before as well. And I'm giving this advice to you once again, that when you go to a new person, don't talk about the previous person, saying that he was of no good, or he's made me even worse. Now it's your claim that he's made it worse. But how would it be established that it's gone worse because of his treatment? It is also possible that you would have been dramatically worse, and his treatment stopped at worsening and it didn't go as bad. This is also one perspective. So this is also quite common way people engage in such practices themselves, where they talk ill about other people, and this trend seems to be ever growing. So this should be avoided. For example, if you truly believe that you've been harmed due to the treatment of so-and-so doctor, or the doctor suggested me so-and-so medicine because of which I've been harmed, even then, why tell the other doctor? Maximum, tell him that I had this medicine. And because of this, instead of benefit, I've suffered a side effect. Now the other doctor that you've gone to, if he's a truly professional and competent doctor, then he would know that what does your medicine contain. So he will avoid giving you the same medicine which has similar properties. And the doctor will prescribe you a different medication this time. So the approach of a person should be to make sure that he sheds all doors of sins where possible, rather than opening the doors of sins all the time non-stop. You need to be very careful. However, keep in mind that I have not included every doctor, every herbalist, every builder in this category. You find good and bad among all. I've spoken generally that this is happening in the society. So whoever does so should repent and fulfill its requirements. Whatever your expertise are, whether it is medical treatment or building work, etc., just provide your own professional services. Why do you jeopardize your own hereafter by targeting someone else and bad-mouthing them? Saying things like, he's not an expert, he's a cowboy professional. He doesn't even know the basic things. He doesn't even know how to hold a simple tool. He has totally ruined your machine. Had you come to me before, this would have been done for so cheap. He has made you spend all this money on it. He has ruined this part of your machine. I'll need to buy it now. Now, all these kinds of things are generally full of lies, and at what great extent they are used, may Allah protect us. May Allah save us all from sins. May Allah save us all from talking ill of one another. We have been commanded that even if there are shortcomings of Muslims, they should be concealed. As the subject is found in a blessed hadith, that whoever finds about the shortcoming of another person and then conceals it, then he will enter paradise. This means that concealing a Muslim's shortcoming, concealing his fault, concealing his flaw, is an action that leads to paradise. And what do? We exaggerate the shortcomings of people and openly mention them to others, and we stay in search of finding any fault so that we can openly defame him in the public. Such has become our nature. The one who reveals people's shortcomings in the world, doesn't he fear that his flaws can also be exposed whilst he's alive? If not in this world, then on the day of judgment, they'll be revealed before everyone and he'll be disgraced. Who doesn't have flaws? Flawless is Allah. Flawless are the prophets, those whom Allah made his chosen people and kept them safe from sins. Such noble figures do not have flaws. If they do, they are concealed, or their shortcomings or flaws are made to be concealed. But as for us common people, our matter is different. May Allah cast gaze of mercy upon us. We should also exert full efforts that a sin doesn't get committed. A person's right is not violated. We don't hurt anyone's heart. We don't take anyone's wealth unjustly. We don't lie and delay repayment of loan. When a person wants to take a loan, they go to any extent. And when the other person needs to take back his loan, he will now face great disgrace. With debtor making lame excuses like I'll repay your loan in a few days, I am short on cash, etc. And the lender keeps going to him again and again. These are all violation of rights, where they're lying and hurting the other person. Just simply tell him the truth. For example, I'll repay your loan after 2 months. And then whatever date is mutually agreed, repay the loan on the agreed date. Do not trouble or cause harm to the lender. May Allah make us a truthful person with sincere intentions. This leads a person to success. And for such a person, Allah provides means also. And the person comes out of such kind of things. The problem is that our intentions are not sincere, so we can't come out of this circle. And different kinds of sins keep getting committed. And this remains ongoing non-stop. People's lives are spent in this vicious circle. They don't leave sins. For the sake of his infallible Prophet and final messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, may Allah save us from sins.
I would request you to please guide us further in this regard that, for example, someone thinks that if so-and-so person does such and such thing, this would cause harm to Islam and this is his personal opinion. So what should that person do in this regard? As in, should he contact the other person directly? Or should he go to scholars and seek guidance telling them that I think that if so-and-so person does such and such thing, this would harm Islam? Or nowadays is the era of social media, so should he use social media and openly announce it? So please provide us guidance in this regard too.
Allahu Akbar. Now you see, there are different scenarios in different cases. It is mentioned in a hadith that make a transgressor known. Mention him with what he has. Otherwise, help people recognize him. Now, if a sin of a person is such that causes harm to the people, then in this case, when other people will also suffer, there is a permissible case of revealing the shortcoming now. Now, we ourselves cannot decide this. At times, what happens is that the other person is committing a shortcoming, but once we tell him about it, he'll instantly start repenting, seeking forgiveness, acknowledging his mistake and committing not to commit the sin ever again. Now there's no need to publicize this person, as he's repenting himself. And as for social media, what can be said about it? It has no control, restrictions or limitations whatsoever. Then certain social media users also make the matters worse. There are different types of social media users. I won't go into detail of defining their types. People know it better that what types of users there are that they specially look for these kinds of matters and issues that would result in their viewership being increased. And they increase their likes through it. So such social media users look for such issues. Now, for example, there's a person who does not like me. He will look for matters against me. And let's say I wanted to say one thing but uttered something else, which is also known as slip of the tongue. For example, if it is a case that a person wanted to say something else but ended up saying something else which, on apparent terms, is a word of disbelief, even then the ruling of kufr would not be applied straight away, provided that it's slip of tongue, where a person said something which he didn't intend. Now when the person realizes it, he will instantly say, Astaghfirullah, what did I say? Oh no, Astaghfirullah. So this would make the person totally clear, which he was even before. There was no ruling upon him. He wanted to say something else but said something else. However, if it is a case where the person remains firm upon it and starts justifying his statement by saying things like, what I said didn't mean this, the intended meaning was different, and such kind of justifications are presented by the person. Now in this case, the person will be in trouble and a ruling will apply to him. So I was just giving an example that, for example, I want to say one thing but end up uttering something else. Now the person who doesn't like me and is against me, when he comes across such statement, he'll stop it there and take it as it is. And after taking this bit, he will be like, I've got him now. And he will then make this clip viral with my face in the caption with the title that look what he's saying. Now of course the statement is incorrect, but I would have already corrected that statement. My attention was drawn towards it and I was like, oh no, I made this mistake. That was incorrect. This is correction. This way I came out of it. But the platform of social media does not offer grounds for repentance. Social media users don't forgive such a person. I gave my own example. Whichever person comes into their trap, they disgrace and humiliate him to the greatest extent possible. But those who do this will be disgraced such on the Day of Judgment that they'll be humiliated before the entire creation. This discussion is on general terms. It is also possible that Allah may allow such people to repent in this world as well. But those who do so, for them to repent discreetly, or for them to whisper sorry in the ear of the other person, will not be enough. One hadith states, "Asirru bisirri wal alaniyatu bil alaniyati," meaning, repentance of a sin committed in secrecy is in secrecy, and the repentance of a sin committed openly is openly. This is a sahih hadith. In light of this, social media users should be very careful. Back in the days, this mode of publicizing sins was not present. There were no such means present. Now it has become very difficult to come out of it. Its reach is in multi-millions of people. So the repentance of the person should also reach multi-millions of people, saying that I said this about that person and this was my mistake. I was wrong. He'll have to acknowledge this. If he says it was misunderstanding, then he would fall into more trouble as he would be lying. He did it deliberately, as he had grudge against him and he made it viral to degrade the other person. And now he's saying it was misunderstanding. Misunderstanding means, in understanding something, a person fell short. So he did understand, which is why he made it viral. So this would not be repentance at all. It would be further deception. He has fallen deeper into the pits of sins. Lame justifications, deceptions, cunningness, playing tricks, etc. will nothing work in the court of Allah. Allah knows the states of our hearts. He knows us in severing at all times. So true repentance will only be valid when a person acknowledges his sin with an open heart. There shouldn't be any cunningness. It will be a bit difficult upon your nafs. This is very slight embarrassment of this world. Imagine the disgrace on the judgment day, when the command will be issued to be dragged and thrown into the hellfire. And the entire creation will be witnessing being dragged into hell. So imagine this disgrace and humiliation. Now, it is up to the person that which of the two he chooses, the temporary embarrassment of this world or the unbearable one of the hereafter. May Allah make us understand what I said. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The sunnah and the commands of Allah. The sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakirah.